Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. Last Sunday, Pastor McLean preached a sermon from the last passage in the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel, in which Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples, and he told his disciples that shortly he, Jesus, would be betrayed, that he would be handed over, that he would be put on trial, that he would suffer, that he would be shamed, and that he would be killed. And then 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. Now, this picture of reality that Jesus was sharing with his disciples came as a shock to them. This is not at all how they saw their relationship with Jesus, not at all how they saw Jesus himself progressing through his ministry. They believed that Jesus was increasingly going to be more and more recognized, be more and more honored, be more and more held up as being the person that he truly was, the Son of God, the Messiah sent by God into the world to establish the kingdom of God. That's the way things are supposed to go, the disciples believed. And now Jesus gives a totally different picture, and they don't like it. In fact, we're told that Peter takes Jesus aside and reprimands Jesus. Don't talk like that, Jesus. This simply cannot be true. This is not the way things are supposed to go. It was very hard for the disciples to hear Jesus speaking this way of suffering and hardship and pain and death and the sorrow and the grief and the loss that accompany the death of someone you care deeply about. And just as it was hard for the disciples, so it is hard for you and for me to hear when Scripture says that in the life that we live as followers of Jesus Christ, we too will experience hardship and difficulty. We would love to have the kind of Christian life where day to day, moment to moment, all we experience, all we know, all that we are a part of is the ongoing blessing and goodness of God, and that all these good things that He has for us, we just experience one after the other with no interference, no butting in from the world out there. That would be really nice. And while certainly the blessings and the goodness of God that are promised to us are a part of our Christian lives, the reality is that a sinful world impinges upon that life. And as long as we live in this world, sin and evil will have its impact, and we will experience that impact. Indeed, we too will be people who at times suffer and have hardship and experience the grief and the sadness of loss. And it is especially in those times when those kind of negative experiences begin to pile up and really begin to have a hold on us and grab our attention, that we begin to wonder whatever happened to the good news. We're told by Mark that Jesus came preaching good news. Where is that good news in the midst of the difficulties we experience? As Pastor McLean included in his prayer, we have recently lost several members of our congregation. Indeed, in the period of time of less than a week, three passed away. People who are loved in this congregation, not only by their family, but by all of us. People who contributed to this congregation, the gifts and the love and the care that God had given to them, they shared with us as well. And not only have we lost people in the context of our church family, but many of us have experienced other kinds of losses recently. Losses to death, as well as other kinds of significant losses. As you're aware, in my own life, in this past month, I lost my stepmother. And then my nephew and his wife, who live in Spokane, and with whom Lori and I are very close, they lost their baby in the 12th week of pregnancy. These are hard, hard things. Death seems to have a hold on this life in a way that is very, very difficult for us to deal with. No less difficult than it was for the disciples when they heard of Jesus speaking of his own death. And so what do we do with this reality? What do we do with these questions that we have, perhaps even sometimes doubts about the good news? Well, we turn to Scripture. That is certainly one of the things that we do. And what we will find in Mark's gospel is immediately following the story at the end of chapter 8 about Jesus speaking these difficult things to his disciples, we get a story at the beginning of chapter 9 that narrates for us one of the most amazing and wonderful events in the life of Jesus. An event that is going to help put into perspective what Jesus has just shared with his disciples, and which will help to put into perspective for us how do we deal with death and grief, and loss. We're going to look at this story in Mark chapter 9. I'm going to be reading verses 2 through 8. And these verses are in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along as I read. Now, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful to be here. Let's make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. So here are 3 of the disciples who have just been told by Jesus about his suffering and his death. And the very next experience that they're a part of in the life of Jesus is they are given, if you will, a look behind the curtain. This reality that Jesus has been speaking of, a reality that they are shortly going to be a part of, is a reality that is overshadowed by the glory of God as revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. It is a glory that for Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples, and indeed anyone who came into contact with Jesus, it was a glory that was not outwardly evident. When you looked at Jesus, you simply saw what you expected to see, a regular human being. But this Jesus, this Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, is one who has always had the glory of God, one who always will have the glory of God, and indeed, on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, had the glory of God, and they were given the privilege of seeing it. As Jesus' outward appearance was transformed, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone could make them from a human perspective. And if you read the story, which both Matthew and Luke record in their Gospels, they add that Jesus' face shone like the sun. The glory of Jesus, that glory that's always been a part of him and continues to this day and forever will be a part of him, was revealed to Peter, James, and John in a completely unique and special way. They were able to see Jesus as he really is. And in seeing Jesus as he really is, in beholding the glory of this Son of God, in fact, John, who was one of the three there, Peter, James, and John, that same John, the disciple who later writes his gospel, he says in his first chapter, the 14th verse, "We beheld the glory of the one and only Son of God." And I believe that he's talking about this instance. John doesn't give us the full story of the transfiguration like Matthew, Mark, and Luke do, but he gives us this sentence in the prologue to his gospel. We beheld his glory. We were given the privilege of seeing Jesus as he truly is, and it was in the moment, and it was in the context of him just telling us that he is going to suffer and die, but the glory of Jesus is maintained and revealed. And it is that glory of Jesus, as the disciples will later learn and give witness to, that will overcome death and will overcome the pain and the sorrow of death. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter, he asked the rhetorical question, "O death, where is your victory?" And from a human perspective, and from the disciples' perspective at this point of their journey with Jesus Christ, Jesus dying or anyone dying seems to be our defeat, as death is victorious, that death takes us away from what is good, that death removes us from relationship with one another, that death even can hold on to us so we can no longer be in relationship with God. That is what death looks like. That's what is death's appearance, and it looks like death has won, that it's victorious. But as these disciples would experience, as Paul would experience, and as Scripture gives witness to you and to me so that we may believe it today, the glory of the one and only Son of God is revealed in his resurrection. And the victory of death has turned into its defeat. Its effort to separate us from one another and from God has been overcome by the glory of God. Because in his power and in his plan for all of those who by faith believe in him, they too will be gloriously transformed as Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we will be raised. Death will have no power over us. It will not be victorious. Paul, in that same place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, asks a second rhetorical question, "O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is the sorrow and the grief that we experience in the loss that death brings about. And there is an immediate sting of death. There is an immediate response to the death of someone. Jesus in John chapter 14, when in a different occurrence from the one in Mark chapter 8, he again is talking to his disciples about his death, and he comforts them. And he says, you will have sorrow, but it will be short-lived. And then your sorrow will turn to joy. The sting of death is real. The reality of death is real, but the glory of the one and only Son of God overcomes death. And death itself, as Paul also says, in the end will die. One of the things put to death when Jesus Christ returns, and it will be no more, is death itself. It will cease to exist in the reality of who we are in eternity. But for now, Jesus says, I'm going to die. For now, you and I experience death of people that we care for. For now, you and I recognize that we ourselves are subject to decay and eventually to death. But it is not a victorious death. And those who will feel the sting of death will feel it only for a short period of time. For all who have died in Christ, all that you have known in your life, who have gone to be with Jesus, as they entered into eternity, coming out of time, they came face to face with Jesus in His glory. And it is a glory that human beings cannot be in the presence of unless they themselves have been gloriously transformed. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah has a vision, and he's in the presence of God, and he beholds the glory of God in that vision, and he says, I am falling apart. I am literally disintegrating, is the Hebrew word. Because I am a man of sinful lips and I live among a people of sinful lips, he says. I cannot be in the presence of God. And as you and I are today, we cannot be in the presence of God either. But when we die, we will be glorious transformed. And those who have gone before us have already been gloriously transformed. And they are now face to face with Jesus. And they see that glory, that full splendor of who He is. And that glory is displayed in His love and in His grace for them. And as they are in the presence of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as they are with Him now face to face, the things of this earth, their suffering, their pain, the sting of death that they felt in this world when people they loved passed away, all of those things begin to fade. All of those things become essentially nothing when compared with the love that they are now engulfed in. And it is a love that you and I will experience one day as well. For the promise is that you and I will also be gloriously transformed. Our outward appearance will be changed. Our earthly bodies will be transformed into heavenly bodies. Scripture says in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. And inwardly, we will be changed. That sin which is a part of our life that we continue to seek forgiveness for will be no more. We will be glorified and we will be able to come face to face with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In light of that reality, in light of that truth as evidenced in the transfiguration, as will be evidenced in the resurrection of Jesus Himself from dead, as is evidenced in people like Moses and Elijah who had died hundreds of years before, they were alive and with Jesus. as evidence in those that Jesus has the power to raise from the dead, both before he himself died and those many who were raised from the dead, as Scripture gives witness to after Jesus was raised. Faith looks at Scripture and says what was true for them will be true for me as well. You and I, by faith in Jesus Christ, will be gloriously transformed. And all the hurt, and all the suffering, and all the grief, and all the loss that is very real and that we experience, yet will be swallowed up in that glory. It will be an amazing day. Your best day will be the day of your death. For it will open the door to a new reality so powerful, so amazing, so glorious, so filled with the love and grace of our Heavenly Father that there is nothing in this world that can even come close to overshadowing it. That day is coming. Fanny Crosby was a Christian songwriter, and she also wrote many poems, about 9,000 Christian songs and poems she wrote. Fanny Crosby lost her sight early in life. Most of her life, she was blind. And Fanny was known to say that on the day of her death, when she once again will be given sight, that she will be healed of her blindness, when she opens her eyes for the first time, she says, I will behold the face of my Lord and Savior. What a glorious day that will be. The reality of sadness and sorrow in this life are real. Jesus wept at the death of his good friend Lazarus. Jesus comforted his disciples. He didn't say ignore it, but he said be comforted, be assured. And these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were given a special experience, a special look, a special assurance. And so if you or I find ourselves in places in our lives where we need some assurance, go to Scripture. Read again Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. And imagine what it would be like for you today to be invited to a Mount of Transfiguration. What it would be like to see Jesus in His full glory. A glory that is not only for Him, but is promised to each one of us who by faith trust in Him. If you are struggling under the burden of loss or grief or pain or anxiety and fear for a loss that may be in your near future, imagine yourself gloriously transformed. Imagine yourself in heaven experiencing that amazing glory of God. And allow that not to remove what is true grief, but to bring it under the promise of God's love and care. And if today you are struggling with whatever may be going on in your life, hear the words of Fanny Crosby in one of her songs. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, the reality of pain and suffering is one that you are familiar with. Because in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, you knew that he would experience pain, that he would suffer, that he would be killed on a cross. You knew these things, and yet you sent him into the world because you loved us so much, and you knew that the only way that we could be in an eternal relationship with you was through that death of your Son. And so you were willing. You were willing in him to experience what we experience. You became one with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. It does not negate the hard things we deal with in this life, but it brings them under the promise, under the power, and ultimately under the glory of God, which says love will prevail. Death will not separate you from my love. And in my Son, Jesus Christ, indeed in his suffering and death, that day will be a day of glory for you, because in his resurrection, we will be resurrected as well. And so, Heavenly Father, may we, in the midst of difficult times, in the midst of sorrow because of loss, recognize that not only are our loved ones now in glory and enjoying an amazing, loving, and caring relationship with God and relationship with others who, like them, have passed on, but Lord, may we know also that in our own lives, one day we will join them and we will be together in eternity. Until that day, Lord, keep us strong in you. Keep us hopeful in you. Strengthen our faith. And may your word impact us in such a way that our assurance may be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.